Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Give her say amen. Come on, 11 o'clock, give her say amen. Ooh, that's it right there. Whew. Amen. I don't know who this is for, but we're going to start off right here. Do you know that God has the final say? That no matter what issue or circumstance or whatever your situation might be, whether you've been there a long time, or whether it popped up out of nowhere. No matter what the world says and what it looks like, at the end of the day, God has the final say. And His word is final. There's some things that's already done, it just has not manifested itself just yet. So either way, whether we believe it or not, God's still gonna do what He said He's gonna do. There are some things right now that has been begun in your life that you know has a ways to go. The comfort is, in Philippians 1:6 says, the good thing that God has begun in you, He's able to bring it to completion. So whatever it is, God has the final say. Sometimes we think, well, my circumstances is just going to be what it's going to be. No, God can change it like right now. The type of God that we serve, He can make a way out of no way, even when it looks dark. Like you've been praying a long time and you think that is never going to change. The God that we serve, He said, I see everything. God has the final say. So whoever it's for, just starting off right there, don't give up. Don't go if He say don't go. Stop if He say stop. Get up if He say get up. But whatever it is, do what God says, because He knows. This morning, there's a lot. And I just want to take my time, get to a place where I know I'm in His grip, and I'm going to invite you with me to pray. God, we love you. And God, we come to this place, Father, because we know you're here. And God, we know that when you show up, you change everything. God, we ask, Lord, that you would just be Jehovah. Be the God of everything. You are Elohim. You are the creator of everything that is. God, you are El Elyon. You are the Most High God. And because of it, you are my buckler and my shield. God, I ask now that you just lead us and guide us, God, that we don't come for like an eloquent speech. God, we in need, God. We need some help. God, some of us here this morning, God, we're in a place of desperation. Some of us are on the edge. And God, we need a word from you. So God, my prayer now is that you would work on each heart, the soil of our hearts, that you would prepare it, make it soft. Turn it over, God, dung it, so that the seed of the word, God, would find its place and spring forth into life. God, we ask that you would remove every distraction, anything that stands in the way. God, any preconceived idea, thought, or anything that the enemy tries to present itself and exalt itself against the things of God, we cast it down right now. God, make the way clear, Father God. We pray that that one who came for one thing gets something else. God, let us know for sure that you see us. Let us be reminded that you are for us. And God, let us know, God, that you are here. Thank you for who you are. For the preaching of the gospel is to some, it's foolishness. But unto those who are saved, it's the power of God. So God, we ask you now, have your way. Reign over, take over. In Jesus' name, amen. It feels better. So we've been working through this new series called Holy Days, but also some holidays in there too. 2 weeks ago, I think our eighth graders, they had their profession of faith as they made their confirmation. I think last weekend, it was Mother's Day, and we had an opportunity to be reminded by Pastor John the importance of rebellious rest, that we rest from our labor. Today, I'm just going to tell you, it's time that we get fired up. What God is calling us to as a church is to truly get fired up. Like for 11 o'clock, that's not too hard because that's where we live. Every time I come up here at 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock too, by the way, but 11 o'clock, you always fired up. So if I say get, you say fired up. Get?
Fired up.
Get?
Fired up.
Listen, the reason why we ought to get fired up is because God has called us to be fired up. We are a church on fire. For some time ago, we've been talking about that there's something new that God is doing, that there's a fresh wind that's blowing through Hope Elam. And he's been pouring out his spirit over and over again. And when you fire it up, that means something has been ignited in your heart. There's something that has been set ablaze that's in you, not because of necessarily somebody, but it's because of the Jehovah who brought you. There's something on the inside when you are lit. That means something is burning. And you don't have any problem coming. Matter of fact, you can't wait to get to a place when you're excited about something. You know, maybe you're here today, and the reason why that prayer or that promise just hasn't manifested itself just yet is because you've been waiting for a long time. But God said, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you to fan the flame because it's in there, but you just ain't fired up. So today, I'm saying we got to get when you fired up, there's something that is being fueled. Something is burning, is being fueled in you that you can't wait to get to the place. You can't wait to get to that thing. There's something about your life that is all about being lit, not so much in the world way of being lit. But you know that God has called you with something that is burning. And that you have and we have a responsibility to be fired up. When you're fired up, you are energized. You're not coming being indifferent. You're not coming with a place of apathy. You're coming, you can't wait to get with your fellow brothers or sisters. You can't wait to hear that song. You can't wait to hear the scripture. There's something about the word of God that fires you up.
Amen.
When you're fired up, something is stirred on the inside. Jeremiah said it like this. Jeremiah said, look, I don't think I'm going to say anything more about this God fella, because every time I talk about him, I end up getting in trouble. Matter of fact, he's coming off in chapter 20, getting beaten by Pashur, the priest. He said, I'm not going to say anything anymore. But he said, the word was like fire in my bones. I couldn't contain it. I couldn't hold it. I had to tell somebody. Maybe you're here today, and you fired up. You here today and something has been ignited in your heart that no matter what no one says, you can't wait to share the good news. You can't wait. As soon as the Spirit of God nudges you, you're ready to share the gospel. Because you have something that is burning and you want your mom and them and your dad and them, your grandma and them, you want everybody to know about what is burning on the inside. If you hear, I don't know, like Jeremiah, maybe you can't hold it because you fired up. In John 8 and 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can walk in the light that leads to life. He's calling us to stay lit. You got to get lit to stay lit. So part of it, you got to understand, part of when you say yes to Jesus, the Bible declares that God deposits the Holy Spirit inside the believer and it ignites the flame in our hearts. And when that happens, the Bible says that we are to be the light of the world. Nobody lights a lamp and put it under a bushel. You know, you can have a light bulb, and that provides light. But you know, fire can also provide light. When Gracie was up here and they lit the candle, It was just so apropos for us to see a physical example of what we're called to be. That light that was lit, that's what's happening in our hearts. That there ought to be something burning continually in our heart. And in that, when that light is burning and we come to the house of God and we come together, there ought to be some light that is being illuminated throughout this campus, throughout this community. Light of the world. So I'm saying to somebody, light it up. You hear in your light that is in you, somebody needs to be able to find their way. Somebody on your job, somebody in your household, somebody that's next to you right now. It's been dark for a while. Things have been hard. And maybe you're here today and you know your flame is burning bright. But sometimes we can snuff it out because we're not willing to let other people see what we're feeling and how we are so enamored by what God is doing in our lives. So we try to play it cool. And I'm saying right now, it's time to get... In Matthew 3:11, this is going to help us because I'm trying to get to a place where we understand. John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he said, look, he said, repent and turn from your wicked ways. He said, repent. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's somebody that's coming that's greater than I am. And while I baptize you with water, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire is the Holy Spirit way of being all-consuming. That the Holy Spirit is like a fire that once it gets burning and a slow burn, it'll continue to burn. And that's how, if you let it rest on you in the Holy Spirit, it begins to consume you. And I'm saying let it consume, let it burn. Burn, baby, burn. When you are being filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, it's refining. There's some things about our lives that needs to be burnt away. There's some impurities. There's some infirmities. There's some things that we have in our life that the fire, that when we go through it, it allows us to understand that we have to have our faith tested. 1 Peter 1:7, it tells us our faith is tested by fire to prove the genuineness of who we are. So when we find some trials and some tribulations and some trouble, and the fire that's burning in there, sometimes we go through those things to burn away some things that is not of God. He said to us, he said, the fire of the Holy Spirit is illuminating. The reason why we ought to be fired up, because it allows us to be in a place where we are helping other people to find their way. Each and every one of us have a fire, a flame, the Holy Ghost that is inside of us. He said it in John 14. Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do the thing that I'm asking you to do, and here's what's gonna happen. My Father's gonna send back another advocate. I'm your advocate right now as I'm walking in my earthen ministry. I'm with you right now, but if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost can't come. He said to them and he said to us, listen, he said in John 16, it is expedient, it is necessary, I must go away. Because if I don't go away, you can't get the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, but the Holy Ghost coming with fire. Not only is he with you right now, but he's going to be in you. So in our text, he starts to give us proof. In the first chapter of Acts, Luke, who's also the writer of the Gospel of Luke, he picks up where he left off after the Gospel of Luke. And he begins to explain how the 40 days after the resurrection, after the suffering and the death of Jesus, Jesus came back on the scene for 40 days. And he showed himself to many of people, but he spent time with his apostles. And he spent time appearing to them so he can prove to them that he was alive. We have to understand how important it is that Jesus did not stay in that tomb. Because he got up, we're going to get up. Because he loved his disciples, but because they had a job to do, he spent time showing himself to appearing to them and talking to them. Here's what he talked about. You want to know what he talked about? The kingdom of God. He started to talk to them about what it was going to be. You know what they wanted to know? Well, is it time for you to restore Israel's kingdom? He said, listen, nobody has that authority to know the day or the time but my Father. He said, but you will receive power. See, I can tell you that. So here's what he does. He says to all of them while they were eating, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave. He says, and this is for somebody, and listen, open your hearts. Wait for the promise. He told them, I know you're scared. I know you've been on the run. I know you saw me get crucified. I know that you are fearful. He said, but don't leave. Wait for the promise. He said to all of them, he said, why? He said, because my Father's got a gift. He got a promise that he made to you. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in a few days, it's on its way. So if you're here today and you've been thinking about doing this or that, you follow whatever God tells you to do. If you haven't heard from God, wait. He promised you something years ago. You have not seen it. You have been praying for it. You have been putting yourself in position to receive it. It has not come yet. I'm saying wait for the promise. And then it goes on, the beginning of chapter 2. It was Pentecost. Just a few days later, we're talking about the promise. When they were gathered all together at Pentecost, which is Pente means 50 is fifth Pentecost, 50 days before the Passover meal. They came to celebrate from everywhere. They come from everywhere to celebrate Pentecost. And what a time for the promise to show up. And why is it so important? Because they were all on one page. They were all in one place, all for one purpose, to celebrate the Pentecost. And what happened when everybody's on one accord? The Holy Spirit show up. Then all of a sudden, a spark. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they wasn't looking for it, they wasn't expecting it, they were going to celebrate, and all of a sudden, a spark, a flicker of a flame, out of the blue. All of a sudden, you get a call from that person who you thought forgot all about you. All of a sudden, somebody call you in the office and you get that promotion. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a flicker of flame, some hope comes out of nowhere. You were about to give up. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, you came to church and something got a hold of you. Suddenly. That's what happens when sometimes when we catch fire, when we get fired up, is all of a sudden, we don't always plan that we're going to be fired up for God. Sometimes life is too hard. We're in a place of hardship. Somebody got a bad diagnosis. Things are not going in our favor. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a spark, a flicker of a flame that gives us hope. Something starts burning. You didn't have a mama or a daddy who told you about who Jesus was. You didn't have somebody who was mentoring you, somebody who was giving you hope. But all of a sudden, you heard something. Because when it happens suddenly, it will come with a sound. All of a sudden, there was a sound. Maybe the sound for you was a song. And it wasn't even in the church. You was just driving, and all of a sudden you heard a song. There was a sound in your ear, and then all of a sudden, a flame. Something ignited inside of you. Maybe you hear it, and it wasn't a song. Maybe it was a sermon. Likely it was a scripture. Something that you wasn't even reading it. Somebody else was reading it, but something caught a hold of your soul. And the sound was sudden. You wasn't looking for it. But that's why you're here now. Because God wanted to fan the flame, but first he had to get you lit. He had to ignite something in your heart. And maybe it wasn't a song, a sermon, a scripture. Maybe God sent somebody. It wasn't a pastor. It wasn't somebody who was spiritual. It was somebody. Don't you know that God can use anybody? If that flame is open and available, he can fan that flame and use anybody. Maybe you're here today and it's been sudden. It was all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody said something and it changed everything. You drop the baggage, you drop all the stuff you've been carrying, and you've been chasing after God ever since. We're talking about the promise, because the promise is for everybody. There was on one accord, one place, one page, and one purpose. And all of a sudden, there was wind. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were all sitting. Fire by itself, I tried to make the case for it. But you put some wind with some fire. When wind mixed with fire, it provides oxygen to the fire. And the fire, though it was a flick of a flame, begins to burn brightly. Wind starts to blow embers in other places. It starts to blow debris. And before you know it, while the fire started right here, now she's on fire, and he's on fire. You add some wind to the fire, and everybody's fired up in here. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The promise came to everybody. It was a rushing sound of wind, but also there was some fire. Oh, gotta talk about the wind first. The wind, the ruha, is, Pastor, I don't know if I said it just right, but the ruha, okay, the wind, the breath, and the spirit. It is when God formalized man, and then he breathed the breath into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. It is when, in Ezekiel 37, when there was a valley of dry bones, and the prophet Ezekiel was told by God, he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He said, "God, you know they can live." He said, "Well, prophesy to the bones." He prophesied, and you know the story, ankle bone, guy with the knee bone, and all of a sudden, you had this army, but there was no life. You can't have life if you don't have spirit. So he told him, he said, "Well, prophesy to the wind." And he prophesied to the east wind, the north wind, south wind. He said, "Before you know it, the wind swooped down in the valley. And those dry bones became living souls because of the ruha, because of the wind, because of the breath. The Spirit of God is what gives us life. That's why we should always be fired up." Same place, same time, same purpose. Not only was it sudden, not only was there was a sound, but the Bible said that it was like a fire that came down like cloven tongues. And he said to all of them, it settled on each of them. Not just on the pastor and the preacher and the choir team. It settled on everybody that was in the house. And when it settles on you, it dwells, it sups, it resides, it abides. Not only will it be with you, it'll be in you. And when it's in you, it is where it's supposed to be. It says, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." When the Holy Spirit show up and you get fired up, you can do some stuff you never thought you was able to do. And can I tell you this? When you do stuff that nobody thought, even yourself, that you was able to do it, people are going to think you crazy. People are going to think that while you being just amazed, they're going to call it ridiculous. You know what they said? "Oh, they just drunk." Them people at Hope Elam, those people at Pentecost, all that sound and all that noise, they just drunk. People who don't understand, they're not going to understand what God has done in your life. You won't be able to tell them. Even if you told them, they wouldn't understand. When it settled on them and they began to do things that they didn't understand that they could do, Jesus, watch this. If you fired up, you can't be lukewarm. You and I both know, either You cold or you hot? Time out. Hope Elam, for all of us. But if the shoe fits, move. If you've been in the middle, playing it safe, God say, get on fire. To go deeper. Sometimes we gotta get fire. The world will make us stay comfortable in the middle. Because then we can hide. We don't have to show our card. We don't have we can wear our cross on the inside. We can go to church and on the slide. Whatever. God says, listen, when you fired up, your whole life changed. There's an illumination to your life because of the flame that is burning in your heart that you can't stop. It's like Jeremiah. It's fire in your bones, and you cannot keep it to yourself. So, when the promise comes, there's power. Here's how I know. Peter, before Pentecost, he had zeal. He had all this stuff, but he abandoned him. He ran. He denied him. Matter of fact, he was about to cuss. If he was asked one more time, were you with Jesus? He would have cussed. The Bible says he wasn't having it. But after power comes from the Holy Spirit, after they talk about they just drunk, that's in 13. Acts 2:14. Peter stepped forward, stood up, and watch the confidence. Peter said, listen carefully. Peter's like, y'all better listen up. I mean what I'm about to say. And all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, and he said, make no mistake about it. Man, Peter's standing with some confidence right now, some power. Once you know the Holy Spirit is burning inside of you and you are following the things that God have asked you to do, you could stand in confidence, standing on the word of God. Amen. And he says to them, these people are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to pick that up another time. The point is, this is a move of God. And as he continues to preach, because he's fired up, and because he's preaching with so much fire, power that it gives them boldness and being courageous and fearless, he tells them, you killed Christ. There were some Jews that was there, were some folks who had hollered, crucify him. They were in the crowd. He stood up boldly and said, that ain't right. He said, but there's hope for you. After this, this is what happened. He told them, he said, they're not drunk. This is a fulfilling of the Old Testament prophecy in Joel 2:28 that talks about how God is pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out the fire of his spirit continually over and over and over again. Hope Elam. The Holy Spirit is not only here, it's in you. It's inside of the believer. It was his plan all along. God the Father, God the Son, now God the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell inside of the believer. And when he comes to dwell, he gives us power. That things that we don't know, he's the Spirit of truth. He tells us the difference between truth and error. He helps us to walk in accordance to the things of God. Because in our fleshly ways, we're going to continue to be drawn to the things of the world. How long? How long are we going to snuff out the fire? You can have everything that you got and then some. You can have swag. You can get a bag. You know, all those things. You can have money. You can do all those things and be an upright, strong woman of God, man of God, walking in circumspectly before God with no shame about it, being a light to everybody else who's watching your light shine. So when you have all that power, it's piercing. It's piercing. The word of God is for reproof. It's for correction, for instruction. The word of God is sharp like a sword. It cuts bone and marrow and discerns the things of the spirit. And so what it does, it pierces. It cuts them. When Peter was preaching, because he was fired up. He was preaching with power. It was piercing. It cut them. And they asked the question, what shall we do? Maybe you're here and you're asking the question, I just graduated. What shall I do? I just got married. What shall I do? I just came to the faith. There's something burning, but I need some help. I need somebody to walk with me. What shall I do? And the answer is the same for all of us. Repent. Confess. Recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Repent. Turn. Maybe you're here, and not only does the repent, you need to return, because you've been there before. Return and go back. He's right here. Because when you ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? When you repent, when you return, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Your fire, your flame will be ignited even more. It's still lit. You here right now, you think you ain't lit because you're living in darkness. No, it's still there. You just got to come out of darkness and let your light shine. You just got to light it up. What shall we do? Fan the flame. It's in there. Here's why it's so important to fan the flame. The promise is to you. It's not just for spiritual church folk. The promise is to you and your children. And everybody else. Fan the flame. Get fired up. Go deeper. So the Holy Spirit, when it comes sudden, out of nowhere. Sometimes it's a sound, and that sound, it will be sometimes audible, sometimes it's just a word. That's why I was flaming tongues, because of the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? It's the preached word of God that draws us to our faith. And when it comes, it'll settle. Sometimes it'll arrest you. Sometimes it'll rest on you. Sometimes it'll arrest you. It'll just consume you. Before you know it, you went from zero to 100. And when you do, you need to walk with somebody. You need somebody who's going to walk with you, because it ain't always going to be in the feeling. It ain't going to always be zeal. Sometimes you're just going to be dark sometimes, but the light still got to shine. So what am I saying, Obilo? We on fire. You on fire. We on fire. Peter continued preaching. Watch this. I'm about done. Peter was preaching. He says he continued preaching for a long time. Don't you know when preachers or people start talking and they fired up, they just go a long time. You can't stop them. I mean, all they're trying to do really is help. Peter preached for a long time. Peter found himself. Peter was fired up. And I ain't mad with him, because he wanted all the listeners. He said, save yourself from this crooked generation. He didn't want one family member. He didn't want one friend. He didn't want one coworker. He didn't want one person to go down a road that they can't turn back. So he preached for a while. Sometimes we got to stop the stop off and just keep going. If there's a place in a space, it's because we want to give people the good news. We want to give them everything, but you can't get everything right now, so we're going to keep going. So it's time to get
fired.
To get
fired.
Because when you get fired up, you stay lit. When you're fired up, you light it up. When you're fired up, you fan the flame. And watch what happens. There's growth. Those who believe that what Peter said, 3,000 people. When you fired up, there is continued growth. And having said that, bring Pastor John up.
know about you guys, but I am up in here and I am fired up. So praise God for that.
Amen.
There's a... Woo! Oh, man. Cool off over here.
Thank you. God is good.
There is a fire in every single one of us. And there's one in me as well. And every week, we get to the end of the service, and we say, now that you've come to worship, it's time to go
be the church.
And that's for us, too. We're called to do that as pastors as well. And God has put a fire inside of me. And when God puts that fire inside of you, when God puts an unmistakable call and mission on your life, when God calls, you have to answer, to be surrendered to his will, to be obedient to that. And so there has been a lot of prayer and a lot of discernment, a lot of thinking going on, seeking God's will in the Anderson house for the last several months. And God has made it very, very clear that he's calling us to a new opportunity. And so because God's put that fire inside of me, we want to take that flame and we want to continue to carry it and share the gospel with a new group of people. And so God has called me to be the lead pastor at Hope Waukees campus in the future. And so, yeah, praise God. Waukee is one of Hope's six campuses in the metro area amongst local sites and a continuing network that is continuing to grow, because when you combine fire with wind, the flame spreads. And we want to be obedient to God's call in that. And so there is a lady that has been right by my side for 16 years. 16 years ago, Lutheran Church of Hope said, let's find this 25-year-old kid and let's put him in charge of a church. I don't know what they were thinking, but they weren't then. But it has been an amazing ride with a lot of you for 16 years, and for some of you, this is your first Sunday here, so we apologize for that. But at the same time, these are holy days that God has set apart for a specific reason. But there has been a gal that has been by my side, and that is my wife, Tiffany, who has done an amazing job. Yeah, amen. I can't think of anybody that's been more integral to the growth and God being on the move in this campus than she has. She's literally done anything you can do, every role, every responsibility, and she has done it with a servant's heart and joy, and she does not nearly get the affirmation that she deserves, because she's not normally up. Sometimes she's up here, but God has done amazing things through her as well. And so just a few minutes ago, she ran up because she leads our youth and family ministry, and so she was able to share this news of transition with the kiddos that she dearly loves and has poured her heart and soul into so many of our children and students for so many years in this church. And so we are in this together, and this call is a family call together. However, there's a little thing this summer called Vacation Bible School. We like to have a Jesus party, and so Tiffany is so vital to that she's going to be here over the next couple months to be leading out on VBS and making sure that goes really, really well as I make this change and transition to Waukee for their Vacation Bible School out there as well. And so at that point, Tiffany will then transition off staff as well about the end of July, and we'll begin to worship as a family at the Hope Waukee campus as God's called us to do this together, as he always has. So I want all of you to know that this decision was not made lightly, and we've been talking to our kids actually about this, and it's a good lesson for us as well. It is okay, in fact, very, very normal to feel two feelings at the same time, to feel seven feelings at the same time. You don't have to choose. We can feel incredibly excited about the growth of the gospel and what's next for us, but also be sad of the relationships that will definitely change. It's not a goodbye, but it is a see you in a different way. We may not see you as often, and we want you to know that all of you are dear friends and family, and you are a part of the Hope Elam family, whether you've been a part of this for over a decade or today is your first day. God has you here for a reason, and when God calls, we answer. And so you'll all have an email in your inbox that shares a little bit more details about this. But we are excited. Pastor Brian and I are excited that we continue to be colleagues, that we are one church in multiple locations, and we're excited to see how these campuses will work together in the future and as we get to continue to do ministry together in some new and creative ways as well. There might be a golfing date on the calendar at some point later this summer as well. We're going to make sure we get that in there. But the Hope Waukee congregation is hearing this simultaneously to us right now at their second service. And so Pastor Pat has been the campus pastor out there, and Pat Quaid, he has done an amazing job out there. He's going to be transitioning into a new role at the West Des Moines campus. And so we're excited for him and his family and want to be praying for them as well. But we want you to know, on behalf of Tiffany and I and our kids that have literally grown up here, and have seen what God has done, and they watch people from all different backgrounds coming together and saying, there's something bigger that unites us. And it's our prayer that they've seen their dad take a step of faith and practice what he preaches. And if he's telling everybody else to go be the church and listen to the voice of God and adhere to the flame that's inside of him, then I want to lead out on that as well. I want to walk the talk in that way. And so it's been an amazing ride, and I'm excited that this is not a goodbye, it's a see you later, because we are a part of the same church family and what God is doing across all of these campuses. And we want you to know that we love every single one of you very, very much, and it has been an honor to walk with you, to serve with you, to cry with you, to walk through all of many of life's significant moments with so many of you in your families. There is nothing like being a pastor. I will tell you that. There is nothing like it. There is never a dull moment. And it is an honor and a privilege to have served as one of your pastors. And I am so excited. In fact, I have never been more excited for the future of Hope Elam. God is going to do amazing things in Waukee, and God is going to continue to do incredible, incredible things here at Hope Elam as well. And I know that is true because this is God's church. It's not our church, but there is an incredible staff. I love our team. I love our staff here. I love you. And I love this mighty man of God that's sitting next to me right here, who is an incredible, incredible leader. And so we wanted to share that update with you today and a couple other details around that as well.
Yeah, we know that this will be bittersweet. I'm excited. When you answer a call, it is to be done wholeheartedly, and you're doing that. The call is one where it's obedience. It's walking in obedience to God. I know because I had to do the same thing when I came here. And John, you have continued. You and Tiffany and your amazing family have continued to give me what I asked for on day one. When I pulled in with my little small U-Haul on 86th Street and Hope Elam was having a retreat, and it was my first day, and really was before my first day, but you let me come in, and the first question was, what do you think you're going to need? And I remember saying, grace. And from day one, you've given me that. Tiffany's given me that. Your family's given me that. Hope Elam, you've given me nothing but grace, and I love the fact that there is no contention, there's no strife, that you are my brother, and we're going to continue to do what God calls us to do. And we may be at a different campus, but at the same time, the mission and the vision does not change. And this edifice is to be a lighthouse in this community, and we're going to continue to do that. And more than anything, we know that with change comes challenge. And sometimes that happens in a variety of ways. And we know that is a good thing. God is in control and not us. So it'll be the way God wanted to be. I'm excited and I'm fired up for you. And I'm fired up for the ability and the opportunity to lead this campus. And together, I just feel like, yeah, we help make heaven more crowded. That's the mission. On June 2nd, so this is going to happen pretty quickly, 2 weeks, and June 2nd, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate both Tiffany and John, Caleb and Everly, on June 2nd. While certainly in between, there's plenty of conversations to be had, but we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate them, laying on of hands, but also meet and greet, and just honor them. They're irreplaceable, so we know that. So we're not going to try to replace them. We're just going to try to stay focused on mission and vision and whatever the new normal, and trust God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love
all
you.
All right, love you too, God. Yeah, appreciate you. So, we know when the Holy Spirit falls, it falls on everybody. And what it desires is to rest on all of us. So let's get ready to hear our worship team with Rest on Us.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.